Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You may be seated. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the sixth day, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. But the man and his wife rebelled against God. They disobeyed his command. They fell into sin. From that day forward, every child born of the union of man and woman would be born in Adam's own image, after his own likeness. That is, the likeness of sinful flesh, the image of the man of dust. All human beings are rebellious and disobedient like Adam, and all human beings are destined to return in death to the dust from which Adam, their first father, was taken. So it has been from his expulsion from the Garden of Eden, so it is now, and so it shall be until the world ends. Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. In Adam, all die. Nobody, at least no sane, rational person, denies this. How could anybody deny the universality of death? Death is all we know as Adam's children. Death is the shadow under which we walk every day. Death is that unfeeling force that takes everyone, young and old, rich and poor, man and woman, parent and child, without any respect of person. Death is the inevitable conclusion to every life. Death is the inescapable end that we all must face, though we have no idea when. But is it? Is death really the conclusion to every life? Is it truly the inescapable end that we all must face? Most people think so. Many even within the church believe it to be so. Those who claim to be Christians cannot altogether deny the resurrection, and so they'll speak of it as spiritual or metaphysical, some kind of faith event enacted through preaching, and so forth. But a metaphorical resurrection ends in the exact same place as no resurrection at all, the grave. If death and the grave are really the end, if there is nothing more, then there is no real resurrection of the dead. And if that is the case, then the consequences are very severe, as the Apostle Paul writes in our epistle lesson this morning. In the first place, that would mean there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where did his body go? Well, maybe the disciples stole his body. Maybe he didn't actually die on the cross, but he fainted and fled and then died later on of old age. Either way, all the miracles, all the signs and wonders, all the profound teachings recorded in the Gospels are, if not grossly exaggerated, for naught. At best, a temporary distraction from the inevitability of death. For a metaphorical resurrection of Jesus means that Jesus is still dead. And if Jesus is still dead, Paul says, there's no point to the Christian church. It's meaningless. Everything the church does, from sending missionaries around the world, to gathering together on Sunday mornings, to training men to become pastors, is a waste of time and money. All the sermons and baptisms and Bible studies and communion services are unnecessary. If Jesus is still dead, then your faith is useless. The Christian message is a hoax. It's at best a pious lie to soothe anxious consciences, and at worst a malicious deception to enslave minds and wallets. If Jesus is still dead, all the persecutions and tortures and martyrdoms throughout the ages were for nothing. If Jesus were still dead, you'd be better off abandoning the faith altogether rather than trying to harmonize it with modern sensibilities. Because that would mean that the pastors who preach the gospel are at best deluded fools, bought into and selling a lie, or at worst con men, misrepresenting God, bearing false witness against him. But worst of all, Paul says, if Jesus is still dead, then you are still in your sins. For if Jesus is not risen, then his death to atone for your sins is of no avail. The burden of your sins, and that means the wages of sins also, which is death, that still remains on you. And all those who died believing in Jesus died believing a lie. They've perished. They're dead. They're dust. They've returned to the dust, and they will not return from there. That means your Christian hope is nothing more than a delusion, and Paul says you're the most pathetic people of all. Indeed, a little bit later in that chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says it would be better to pursue a life of pleasure without guilt or shame or regret. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, if Christ is not raised. Because in the end, the only image that you bear is the image of the man of dust. The only end for you is death. But, Paul then writes, but now Christ is risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the gospel which you have received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and he was raised on the third day. And following his glorious resurrection, he appeared to many in his body, to Peter, to the apostles, to his brother James, even to more than 500 Christians at one time. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in his body is not a metaphor. It is genuine. It is real. It is true. Christ is in his flesh and blood alive. He who suffered and died on the cross for your sins and for the sins of the whole world has come forth from his grave. He has destroyed both the devil and death. He has ascended into heaven and sits in eternal life and glory. If Christ were still dead, then yes, the consequences would be severe, as Paul writes. But since Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, the effects of that bodily resurrection are great and glorious. First of all, Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death has no dominion over him. Therefore, all that he did in his earthly life and ministry, his miracles, his teachings, his obedience even to the point of death on the cross, he did for you, that his righteousness might be credited to you through faith. Furthermore, he is the firstfruits, writes Paul, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ is risen, but he is not the only one to rise. Others will soon follow him. Just as he was brought into death because of us, so also shall we be raised to life because of him. By death he has destroyed our death, so that we will rise and live just as he is risen and lives. And this is so sure, so certain, that the Apostle Paul does not call them dead who will rise after Christ, but rather asleep. For the Lord has promised that your death is but a slumber. Now that Christ is risen, now that he reigns in heaven over all things, you need not worry about your own resurrection. Death is for the Christian little more than sleep. And for Jesus, it will be just a short night before he comes to wake you from your grave. And if Christ is raised as the first fruits, then the church on earth, where the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed, is nothing less than the house of God, the gate of heaven. And what we do in this place is not just of earthly value, but has eternal significance. Our preaching and teaching and your hearing of the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our administration and your reception of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, our declaration and your believing of that word of absolution, this is the greatest, most valuable thing you can do with your time on earth. And the offerings and support that you give to support your congregation, your pastors, missionaries all around the globe, and yes, future pastors in their studies, this is a far better use of your money than any investment, property, experience, or possession you could buy. Yes, if Christ is risen, then your faith is more precious than gold itself, And it truly is worth suffering all, even death, rather than falling away from it. For since you have been justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel message that we proclaim, it's the truth. For Jesus is the truth, the way and the life. His resurrection proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And he has sent forth preachers into all the world to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Not for his own sake, but for ours, that we might believe and be baptized and so be saved. Most of all, because Christ is risen, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. He was delivered up to death for your trespasses and raised from the dead for your justification. His resurrection in his body proves that the wages of your sins, which is death, has been paid in full by his death. He is vindicated in his resurrection, and you are justified through faith in him. And that means those who have died in that same faith, including your spouse, your parent, your child, your friend, they have not perished, but have everlasting life. For by Jesus' own promise, whoever believes in him, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die. Far from being the most pathetic people of all, because Christ is risen, you have great honor and glory given by God himself. You are blessed by the Father. And he has declared you to be heirs of the kingdom he has prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Just before our epistle lesson begins today, the Apostle Paul writes that this gospel, the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, is of first importance. It's primary. Paul stakes everything on the truth that Christ is risen indeed in his flesh and blood body from the grave. Yes, we know this is true. Justification by grace alone, through faith alone, is the chief article of the Christian faith. And justification depends on preaching, the proclamation of the resurrection. Faith comes from hearing. But preaching the resurrection depends on the historical event of the resurrection. If there is no resurrection in any real physical sense of the word, then death is the end, yes. The consequences are severe. Ultimately, there's no Christian faith at all. But with the bodily resurrection, the effects are great and glorious. Death is not the end. It wasn't for Jesus. He is risen indeed, and it won't be for you either. Now Christ is risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now the preaching of the gospel is powerful to save. Now your faith overcomes the world and is more precious than silver and gold. Now the word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Now you are no longer in your sins, for the Son has set you free indeed. Now you have God's own commendation. And now those who have fallen asleep in Christ are even today with him in paradise. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is truly risen from the dead, who lives and reigns to all eternity. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.